Well, just real quickly, why I could not deny Brother Reeves's proposition. Brother Reeves has objected to my explanation that he was unable or unwilling to make an affirmative proposition that I could deny. As I said, this is the reason why I'm in the affirmative for both nights of this debate. In order to clarify how that came about, let me show you the proposition that he wanted me to deny, which you saw in his presentation. The scriptures teach that when fornication occurs, the innocent spouse, when bound by the marriage bond, is given the right to put away the fornicating mate to whom he has been bound by God and to remarry. When I received this by email, I wrote this message back to him. Surely you know that this is an inadequate statement of your position in regards to our differences. It says nothing about a second putting away, which you believe is authorized by God. Your proposition must in some way explain your belief that an innocent put-away person can put away a guilty spouse subsequent to the initial action of that guilty spouse. Do you see that? I want to dictate words. I do not want to dictate wording to you that you would be uncomfortable with, but please give some thought to a proposition that will expose the difference between us. Hope this will clear up any confusion about how these events took place. We heard a lot about Brother Reeves making statements that we are adding provisos, that we are adding provisos in our argumentation. I simply ask you to look at what the gospel according to Matthew, Matthew 5:32. Whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. Matthew 19:9 says, whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. The gospel according to Luke says, whoso marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. Where are the provisos? I agree with these statements. The proposition that I'm defending agrees with these statements. I'm not adding any provisos to the statements which Jesus made. I'm strictly asking that we adhere to the statements and to the laws that Jesus set forth these three times in Matthew 5:32, Matthew 19:9, and Luke 16:18. Brother Reeves is the one that is adding provisos when he states, whosoever married her which is put away to commit adultery, unless she was innocent of fornication when she was put away. Does that look like the same gospel to you? Does that look like the same thing that I've been presenting in my proposition? I submit to you that Brother Reeves is adding to the scriptures. Brother Reeves' position adds to the scriptures, not the position in which we are defending this evening. Do not forget Galatians 1:9, which states a very serious consequence for adding to the scriptures. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel to you other than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Brother Reeves is teaching another gospel. Brother Reeves said that he denies my proposition because Jesus didn't say so, because Jesus didn't say this. Well, I want to ask Brother Reeves, if Jesus didn't say this, where is this chart wrong? My proposition almost identically parallels the exact statements what Jesus said in Luke 16:18. Brother Reeves didn't address that argument. Brother Reeves skirted around the issue. Jesus said this in Luke 16:18. My proposition says exactly what Jesus said. I haven't added to it. I haven't taken away from it. I've tried to take exactly what Jesus said and defend that. And I have not added any provisos to that. Jesus did say what we're teaching. Jesus did say our proposition. He said so in Luke 16:18. He said so again in Matthew 19:9. What about this idea that Jesus did not discuss the scenario of this proposition? That's what Brother Reeves led us to believe, that Jesus didn't address the scenario of the proposition that I'm defending this evening. Well, I don't believe that to be the case. I'm very troubled by the suggestion that the Lord did not address every possible divorce and remarriage scenario. Think about it. The implication is that our information is inadequate. Do we think that we don't have everything we need? I deny that. I think we have everything that we need. Let me read to you again, Matthew 19:9. Whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery. Concerning the put away woman, that's what this debate's about. That's what we're talking about, the put away woman. The statement of Jesus includes two scenarios, when she was guilty of fornication and when she was not guilty of fornication. Those are the two scenarios that Jesus addresses. Even Brother Hale acknowledges this when he wrote, depending on the activation, upon the activation of the exception clause, the put-away woman of Matthew 19b is either put away in a divorce not involving fornication, or she was the put-away fornicator. We agree with that statement made by Brother Hale, who is Brother Reed's moderator. We agree. Concerning that woman, what other scenario could there be? That's the only two possible scenarios that could be, and Jesus addresses them both. What other scenario could there be? In every scenario, the put-away woman is forbidden to remarry another man. In every scenario. You may want to open your books or Bibles to Mark chapter 10, verse 11. And also take your hand over and put your finger at Luke chapter 16 and verse 18. Brother Reed's arguments from Mark chapter 10, verse 11 would lead one to believe that there is something different taught here than in any other passages that teach on divorce and remarriage. He likes to use this verse, Mark 10 and 11. We disagree. In fact, Mark 10 and 11 harmonizes completely with the other passages, which of course is what we would expect to find, since the Bible doesn't contradict itself, does it? We all know that. For instance, I want to compare Mark chapter 10 and 11 with Luke chapter 16 and verse 18. Each of the first three phrases are effectively identical. Let's look at this comparison. Whosoever shall put away his wife, Mark 10 says. Well, what's Luke 16:18 says? Whosoever putteth away his wife. Well, those are merely identical terms, aren't they? What about the next phrase? And marrieth another, Mark 10 says. Luke 16:18 says, and marrieth another. Well, we're right on track, aren't we? Look at the third phrase. Committeth adultery against her. Luke 16:18 says, committeth adultery. Now, I challenge Brother Reeves to tell me if these Luke 16:18 and Mark chapter 10 and verse 11 don't parallel. But let's look at the last phrase in Luke 16 and verse 18. The fourth phrase in Luke 16:18, it's the one that addresses the remarriage of the put-away wife. It is specifically forbidden in Luke 16 and verse 18, as we have said all evening. It just so happens that Luke 16:18 gives some additional information. And whoso marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. Do you see that? So you see that Mark 10 and verse 11 fully harmonizes with Luke chapter 16 and verse 18. It just so happens that Luke 16 and verse 18 gives some additional information, doesn't it? It gives some additional information. And by the way, it's that additional information in Luke chapter 16 and verse 18 that Brother Rees is having a lot of trouble with. The additional information in Luke 16:18, it forbids the put-away wife to remarry. That extra information right there in Luke 16 and verse 18, it doesn't contradict what Mark 10 says. It's just extra information. That information is what Brother Reeves can't answer. That's why he wants to use this verse, because it leaves off that information that he has trouble with. Do you see why he wants this to be his verse? He wants this verse to be his verse because it doesn't address the issue of this debate. That's why he keeps quoting and referring to Mark chapter 10 and verse 11. Again, Mark chapter 10 and verse 11 harmonizes as well with Matthew 19 and verse 9. I'll try to go quickly because the point is much of the same. Mark chapter 10 says, whosoever shall put away his wife. Matthew 19:9 says, whosoever shall put away his wife. Mark 10:11 says, and marrieth another. Matthew 19 says, and shall marry another. We're talking about the same thing, apple to apples here. And the third phrase, committeth adultery against her. Matthew 19:9 says, committeth adultery. Each of these three phrases are effectively identical. But look at the last phrase of Matthew 19 and verse 9 that addresses the remarriage of the put-away wife. It is specifically forbidden in Matthew 19 verse 9. But you see in Mark 10 verse 11 that her status is not even addressed. Her status isn't even addressed in Mark chapter 10 verse 11. So you see that Mark 10:11 fully harmonizes with Matthew 19:9, just as it did with Luke 16 and verse 18. It just happens that again here in Matthew 19:9, there is some additional information given. And again, it is that additional information that Brother Reese is having a lot of trouble with. The additional information in Matthew 19:9 specifically forbids the put-away wife to remarry. Let me change gears here for a minute. Brother Reeves says that our proposition allows the guilty spouse to put an unfair consequence on the innocent spouse. That's what he said in his first speech, is that our proposition allows the guilty spouse to put the innocent spouse in an unfair state. Well, it's a sad and unjust reality of life that innocent people frequently suffer unfair consequences because of other men's sins. I want to look at a few examples with you. A person who is hit by a drunk driver, I tell you what, that's a terrible thing, but a person suffers. They're maybe paralyzed for life because they're hit by a drunk driver. What about an infant born to a drug addict? An innocent baby born to a drug addict, maybe hooked on drugs at the time they're born because their mother couldn't get off drugs while she was carrying that poor innocent child. But that innocent child suffers from that sins of her of that child's mother, doesn't it? What about faithful Christians who are persecuted for their service to God? Is that fair? Is that fair for Christians to suffer because of sinful men persecuting them for their beliefs? That's not fair, is it? What about Jesus' cruel death on the cross? Jesus suffered because of other men's sins, didn't he? Is that fair? It surely wasn't. And then what about what we're talking about this evening? An innocent spouse who's put away by his or her mate. Is that fair? Does that seem fair to us? No, it doesn't seem fair, does it? But it's what the Scriptures teach. And we have plenty of examples. Jesus himself suffered because of other men's sins. And it is also the case that innocent spouses can suffer because of that of being put away by their guilty spouse. We can't formulate an unscriptural position just because the thing seems unfair to us. This doesn't prove anything. I want to go back to the chart that we looked at earlier when we were discussing that order is important. Brother Reeves is not following the order that is stated here in the Bible, that fornication must occur, that the innocent spouse must put away the guilty spouse for that reason, and then the innocent party may remarry. Well, Brother Reeves says that he is agreeing with this order. But what he fails to admit is that he's adding to this order. He's adding that a put away can happen somewhere earlier, somewhere farther up in time. A year earlier, a putting away occurred, and then later, when fornication occurs, that the second putting away can occur. That's what Brother Reeves is promoting. That's why his doctrine's false. He's adding to this order. He says this order is his, but this is not the order that he's teaching. He's adding to it, and he's adding another putting away above, which makes this putting away a second putting away. And that second putting away is the putting away that we don't read about in the Scriptures. It's the second putting away that we challenge Brother Reeves to show us the Scripture, where it's so, and he didn't do that. And we want you to hold him responsible to that. He has to show us where that second putting away is possible in the Scriptures, and he hasn't done that. First Corinthians 7, verses 10 and 11 says, "And unto the married I command you, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But, and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife." In a divorce that is unauthorized, not scriptural, and sinful, the result is that the two people are really divorced. Notice that here in 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 11, it says they are unmarried. This is an unscriptural divorce, but it says they're unmarried. The idea of divorces that are in the eyes of men and in the eyes of God is a false distinction. The Bible makes no such difference. A divorce is really a divorce. Let me help clear up some of the potential confusion. Let's be clear about the terms involved in marriage and divorce and make sure that we use them properly. Note that married goes with the term put away. This is the part that man controls. Man makes the choice to marry, and that can either be a scriptural marriage or an unscriptural one, but man makes that choice. And man also chooses to end a marriage by putting away. And again, that can either be a scriptural putting away or an unscriptural putting away. But man does the marrying and man does the putting away. What about bound and loosed? Those two go together. This is what God controls. Only God can bind eligible marriage partners. And only God can loose a man or a woman from that bond. And if we understand this and apply it consistently, it'll help us in this discussion that we're having this evening. In a written exchange prior to this debate, we agreed that we would exchange questions and return answers. Here's a question that we asked Brother Reeves. If a man puts away a scriptural wife when neither he or his wife has committed fornication and he does not subsequently commit fornication, is the wife really biblically put away? That's the question we ask him. Here's the response that we got. If you mean biblically put away, approved by the Bible, no, the Bible does not approve of the putting away. If you mean does the Bible really consider her repudiated by her husband, yes, she is really put away. You see what he said there? He said, yes, she is really put away. We want to emphasize this. He said an innocent put away person is really put away. That's what he said. This is a quote from Brother Reeves. This is how he answered the question that we worded to him. He said that the innocent put away woman is really put away. Well, I have to ask the question then. If Brother Reeves admits that she is put away, why then does he reject Jesus' teaching on the put away spouse? Look again with me at Matthew 5:32. Whosoever marrieth her that is divorced committeth adultery. Matthew 19:9. Whosoever marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. Whoso marrieth her, Luke 16:18. Whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. Jesus said it three times. We've been laboring this point. But Brother Reeves admitted that she's put away. But Brother Reeves doesn't want to apply these passages which speak specifically to a put away person. This is what a put-away person can do. This is what the law that's binding on a put-away person. But Brother Reeves refuses to make the application of Jesus' teaching here these three times. Again, from our question and exchange prior to this debate, question number five, we exchanged five questions. The fifth question we asked, you teach that an innocent woman who is put away from by her husband could then put away her husband if he committed fornication. How would she do this? Please describe in detail. We ask him to describe. Could it be done? How could it be done? Brother Reeves said, she does it by doing what he did. They both repudiate, reject, disavow. Jesus did not describe in detail how precisely this should be done. So I am not going to set down specific detailed rules as to how to do it. Jesus simply states verbs of action to denote the simple fact of such being done, and I leave it there. Well, Brother Reeves is wrong. She can't do what he did. He says that she does what he did. Well, she can't do what her spouse had already done to her, because it's already been done. She's already been put away. The marriage is dissolved. There is nothing left to put asunder. There's nothing that she can do. And she can't do the same act that was done to her. The marriage is already ended. Also notice that Brother Reeves is encouraging people to take an action that he admits he can't describe. He can't describe this action. He admitted that. And the reason why is, the second putting away, the reason is, of course, that he can't describe it is because the Bible is absolutely silent about anything of this type. We don't read about it. Colossians 3 verse 17 says, we must have authority for all we do and say. Romans 14:23 says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing. So, we can't do a second putting away by faith because the Word of God doesn't teach it. There is no authority for a second putting away. I want to ask one more question before I'm done. Who has the right to remarry? Our debate is about who has the right to remarry. Let's see what the Bible says. Let's look again at Matthew 19 and verse 9. Whosoever shall put away his wife except it be for fornication shall marry another, committeth adultery. That's the first clause, the first half of Matthew 19, 9. This first part deals with the man who puts away his wife. If he puts away his wife not for fornication, what's the result? He can't remarry without committing adultery. The man who puts away his wife not for fornication cannot remarry. But if the man puts away his wife for fornication, then he is authorized by God to remarry without sin. The man who puts away his wife for fornication has the right to remarry. Well, the second part of the verse addresses the situation with the woman on which the woman has been put away. If she's been put away for fornication, Brother Reeves and I would agree that she cannot remarry. However, notice that there is no exception in the second part of this verse. Even the woman who was innocent when she was put away cannot remarry without committing adultery. We're debating about the right of a put away woman to remarry. Matthew 19:9 says that no put away woman can remarry. It's just that simple. Brother Reeves is trying to defend this last possibility, that the woman who is put away not for fornication can remarry. We can't read about it in the second clause of Matthew 19:9. We can't read about it anywhere in the Scripture. We have no authority for a put away woman remarrying.